amen. Thank you, Abby. The Lord ministered to my heart through that special. I trust yours as well. If you have your Bibles tonight, if you look with me to the book of 2 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 32, as we continue our study in the life of King Hezekiah. And what a tremendous, tremendous Bible character we find in King Hezekiah. Brought onto the scene as the king of Judah at just the right time to purge Judah, to lead Judah back to God, to escape captivity. And we've been studying a lot of the different things, and how Hezekiah led Judah is exactly what we need to do today, individually, as individuals, or as a church, or as a country, as a nation under God. And a lot of similarities as we've been studying the life of Hezekiah and getting Judah where they needed to be. Last Wednesday night, we looked at Judah now moves from revival to war. Revival to war, from mountaintop to now a valley experience. And things were going well. It was not what Judah wanted. I don't think any of us pray for trials. We don't want to have to go through trials, but we trust that if God takes us through a trial, we have the promises that there's a need for it and that it will strengthen us, and He has prepared us for it. God will not take us through trials that He has not prepared us for that trial. And Judah, a tremendous example of that very thing, but it wasn't what they wanted. It wasn't what they even expected to have to go through at that time. But we studied and found how God allowed it after He had prepared them, and it would be to strengthen them. Well, we move on now to 2 Chronicles chapter 32. Go ahead and stand with me. We're going to be reading verse 1 down to verse 8. I want you to understand this, because then we're not going to be studying from this passage of Scripture, but we need to know this. And then going back to the next event in chronological order, right after we find that they go to war, there's something else happens here. We're going to study that. But right now, chapter 32 and verse 1 is what we looked at last week. And we're going to go ahead and reread that and read down to verse 8. After these things and the establishment thereof, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah, and encamped against the fenced cities, and thought to win them for himself. That's what we looked at last week. And when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come, and that he was purposed to fight against Israel, that's important, and that's what we're going to come back to. He took counsel with his princes and his mighty men to stop the waters of the fountains, which were without the city, and they did help him. So there was gathered much people together, who stopped all the fountains and the brook that ran through the midst of the land, saying, "Why should the kings of Assyria come and find much water?" And he strengthened himself and built up all the wall that was broken, and raised it up to the towers, and another wall without, and repaired Milo, the city of David, and made darts and shields in abundance. All these things he's doing. And he set captains of war over the people, and gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city, and spake comfortably to them, saying, "Be strong and courageous, be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him, for there be more with us than with him," speaking spiritually. "And with him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God, to help us and to fight our battles." And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you. What a blessing it is to be in church and what we've already experienced. And Lord, if we stopped right here, it would have been well worth our time and effort to be here tonight. But God, there's more. We know that as we have opened the Word of God, we have a Bible study, and we have the eternal words of God preserved for us, that we might study them and learn and apply principles from them to our lives even today. So I pray that you'd help us to focus on your message for us this evening. For this we pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. So Hezekiah sought counsel and gave Judah a powerful admonishment. That is what we find here in 2 Chronicles chapter 32. But it says, after he had seen that Sennacherib was come and that he was purposed to fight against Jerusalem. That's important for us to understand that. Because after he did that, when he did here in chapter 32, in this chronological order, when this comes to pass, he did everything that he needed to do to be able to experience victory. And they would experience victory. We know that, and we studied that. But he had to do these things to experience the victory. But if you would now, go back to 2 Kings in chapter 18. In the book of 2 Kings, God has revealed to us some things that took place in chronological order after Sennacherib comes into Judah, before Hezekiah does what he does in chapter 32 of 2 Chronicles. And that's, it's a blessing there, because if you don't realize the what God has recorded for us, just like I mentioned last week in the Gospels, it's a blessing to have everything that God has recorded in all four of the Gospels. It gives us a little bit more insight into the events that we're studying. And the very same thing here is in the Old Testament, because what is recorded in 2 Kings is not recorded in 2 Chronicles, but what took place in chronological order. And that's how we're studying the life of the teachings or the life of King Hezekiah is found here in 2 Kings in chapter 18, starting in verse 13. Verse 13 was what we studied last week. Remember about he came, Sennacherib came. Now in the 14th year of King Hezekiah did Sennacherib, king of Assyria, come up against all the fenced cities of Judah and took them. Okay, that's what we find in 2 Chronicles 32:1. But what is not recorded in 2 Chronicles is now given to us in 2 Kings. Everybody following me? Look, this is what happened. When the first thing that Hezekiah did when Sennacherib invaded the land. And Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria to Lachish, saying, I have offended. Return from me, that which thou puttest on me will I bear. And the king of Assyria appointed unto Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasures of the king's house. At that time did Hezekiah cut off the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord and from the pillars which Hezekiah, king of Judah, had overlaid, and gave it to the king of Assyria. Wow. There's a powerful message that God has for us in understanding what actually took place in chronological order. Hezekiah, wow, what a powerful man of God. But even Hezekiah was human. You're not going to find much negative about Hezekiah. But we have this passage of scripture right here, which reveals to us Hezekiah panicked. When faced with evil, when faced with the powerful forces of the enemy, we're more apt to panic. And when we panic, we make bad decisions. And we allow the devil to gain victory in our lives. Hezekiah, in a time of weakness and uncertainty, surrendered to his enemy. The enemy, And we're going to be looking into this. And we've studied the last couple of weeks, even Sunday night, understanding humanity, the kingdom of humanity, the human kingdom that God established. At the same time we studied Sunday night, this was about the same time that he allowed Satan to establish a satanic kingdom, a kingdom of darkness that impacts the earth, because that's where Satan was cast out of heaven, and he was cast out into the earth, and woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, the Bible says. So at the very same time, we find here that God's purpose for the human kingdom after the fall of Adam, then the satanic kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, are coming together, but both of these two are temporary. And we have the heavenly kingdom of God, which is eternal, which is the most important. But in the midst of the time and this human kingdom, God is searching for worship. He's searching for the love of humanity, for man was created in God's image after his likeness, for his glory, for his purpose, for his pleasure. We don't quite understand all that. I don't think we will be able to fully understand it. We just know that's what the Bible teaches us until we get to heaven. But God is very much interested in what's taking place on earth, and he's allowed this, the presence of the devil, the darkness of the world, so that when we choose light, it's not forced on us. We choose God. I love the illustration I give to you whenever I deal with this topic, because it's so good. As a grandpa, you love your grandchildren. You want your grandchildren to love you and desire time with you, and they come up to you, and they don't want to come to you. And then mom and dad says, go to your grandpa. Hug your grandpa. That takes something out of it. Not really what I want to be forcing my grandkids to hug me, forcing my grandkids to want to be around grandpa. That just doesn't do it. But when they see you and you can tell in their eyes, they just pop wide open and they get this big old smile on their face and they reach out their arm, they come running to you. Wow, what a difference. Does that not bring pleasure to grandma and grandpa? Can I tell you that's what God's looking for? And the devil is very much out to keep that from happening. And so you have light and darkness. You have the influence of good and evil. And what matters most is good and light, because that's eternal. Yeah. So we go back here in a time of weakness and uncertainty. This great King Hezekiah surrenders to his enemy, which, as we're looking at the enemy, we know the enemy to be the devil himself. Now, he doesn't show himself, he works through different things. Sin is an enemy, and that's what Satan uses to tempt us with sin. Anyone that yields themselves to evil is going to be used of the devil, the darkness. Can I tell you there's times when we are stronger than at other times? I look back over the 40 plus years of ministry, and boy, there's been seasons and there's been times where strength. No, there's no way Satan's going to tempt and get any victory in my life, and just strong to know what to do and to do it without hesitation. But there's been other times in the ministry and other times in my life that I've been more vulnerable. I think all of us can go back in our lives and say, you know, I wish I could have been as strong as I was at that point when I faced the issues in that time. Times when we are stronger than at other times. More vulnerable. And who knows exactly why? It's just a matter of fact. Yeah. Hezekiah finds himself in a vulnerable stage. Could have been because what he does in chapter 32 is the first thing he does when he sees that Sennacherib is the enemy, and Sennacherib was determined to fight against him. There was no way that he was going to let Hezekiah and Judah survive. He was putting them off until they got everything out of them, and then he was going to take them into captivity. Once he saw that, then the first thing he does, and we're going to be studying this more next week, but the first thing he does is he seeks counsel. And then he does everything he needed to do to get the victory. And what we read this evening in chapter 32, verses 2 through 8. So could have been that he didn't seek the counsel. It's what left him vulnerable. Didn't think there was anybody that he could turn to get the help that he needed. Did he give in to the fear? Did he focus more on the overwhelming odds of the military of Sennacherib? Did he focus on what they had done in the past and how they had taken Israel into captivity, the 10 northern tribes? Did he look to the fear of all that? And because of the fear of all that, then he was a time of weakness, a little more vulnerable because of uncertainties that he could actually defeat this great military world power? Was it the fear? Did he give up on any hope of victory? Given up on being able to overcome whatever that sin might be able to overcome that was so easily besets me, being able to overcome that power of the darkness, and just because you don't think you can overcome it, you just give in to it. Was it because he got his eyes off of God? Looking at the wrong things, focused on things that were not as important as other things. These are all possibilities. These are all things that we find that he reversed in chapter 32 of 2 Chronicles. Now he's doing what's right. But at this particular time, when King Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against the fenced cities of Judah and took them, Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria to Lachish, saying, I have offended. Return from me that I, which thou puttest on me, will I bear. And the king of Assyria appointed unto Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver, 30 talents of gold. And Hezekiah gave him all the silver and all the gold. Wow. He apologizes to his enemy, thinking that was going to give him more time. Thinking that was going to suppress the enemy from causing further damage and doing greater things against them. They apologize to the enemy. He accepts being under his authority. There's no way we're going to be able to defeat you. There's no way. I can't see any possible way of overcoming this. And so I'm just going to submit to it. It's just something I'm going to have to live with. It's something I can't overcome. It's something that is just part of me, whether it's a temper, an anger, whatever it could be that Satan has given to you as a sin that so easily besets us, or whatever it might be that has taken control of our lives. We should never get to the place where we're apologizing to the enemy and that we are surrendering to whatever that sin might be. Because when you do that, you are not focused on God. You're not looking to the help that God has provided for you. He gave him all that which was given to God. Time, talents, tithe. Instead of giving it to God because of all these other things, he gave it to Sennacherib, the enemy. That's just the reality of it. Can I tell you that right before this, he stood against Sennacherib. In the very same chapter, chapter 18, look up with me to verse 5. This is when he was strong. This is when he was looking to God. This is when he had the right mindset, if you will. He was not at a time of weakness or uncertainty. He was strong in his faith. He was strong in his commitment to God. And the Bible says here in chapter 18, once he was elected, now he is appointed here king of Judah, he trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. This is the same king. This is Hezekiah that we've been studying and really admiring and been drawn to. For he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered, and whithersoever he went forth, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. Wow, that's a king Hezekiah that I know. That's when he was strong. That was the time of faith and certainty. Whatever happened between verse 7 and to verse 14 and whatever that time frame, but now he's in a time of weakness and uncertainty, and he does all these things. He apologizes to his enemies. He accepts being under his authority, and he gave him all of his Israel's, Judah's wealth. God recorded this for us so that we can realize we're all human. If not for the grace of God, there go I. If it happened to Hezekiah, I guarantee it could happen to you, and it happened to me in a time of weakness, in a time of uncertainties. They're going to come. How we handle those certainties and those times of weaknesses is very important. Can I tell you that none have the power or strength to defeat our enemy on our own? Somehow he lost sight of God here, and he's focused more on the enemy at a weak time of weakness, and he surrendered everything to the enemy. Revelation, and we mentioned this a little bit earlier about light and darkness, that which is eternal, the kingdoms that are temporary, which is the human kingdom as well as the satanic spiritual kingdom. Over in the book of Revelation, as God was revealing some of that to us, he says in Revelation chapter 12, talking about the fall of the devil, but then he says this about a verse 11, about those that do overcome him as the enemy. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Yeah, your Savior, Jesus Christ, who actually died, went to the gates of hell and defeated Satan and the grave and resurrected from that. And he brought out of there the chains and the keys of death and hell. He's the one that we look to. He is the one that can help us to overcome whatever it is that the enemy throws our way. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. What a powerful statement as far as what things we need to do to be able to overcome the enemy, because none of us, and we have to put ourselves there, none of us has the power or strength to defeat our enemy on our own. Do you want the victory? That's the key. The first thing that we find as we study this right here that Hezekiah should have done, that he would do later, that he didn't do, is stay aware of being at war. Don't apologize for standing against the devil. Don't apologize for serving the Lord. Stay aware of being at war. He was aware of being at war when he was placed in the position of the king of Judah. And because of that, he trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him. For he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments which the Lord commanded. And he rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. Because he was focused on God, and he realized that Sennacherib was his enemy. And he was going to trust in the Lord, and he was going to stand against Sennacherib. And that's a lifetime, as long as the enemy's there. Stay aware of being at war. Do you realize that right now in the 21st century, we're still in a spiritual war? Paul wanted young Timothy to realize this very same thing. Timothy, your whole life on earth, because of the spiritual kingdom of darkness and your limits on this human kingdom, your whole life you're going to be at war with darkness. You're going to be at war with sin. You're going to be at war with the devil, your adversary. Don't lose sight of that. 1 Timothy in chapter 1, this is what Paul writes to Timothy in the first letter to Timothy in chapter 1, some of the first things he addresses here. Let me read this to you. But 1 Timothy in chapter 1 in verses 18 and 19, this is what he writes. This charge I commend unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. Timothy, you got to be aware. I'm getting ready to pass off the scene. Paul understood that, and Timothy was going to take the church on further, and he says to him, the main thing you got to focus on, Timothy, as you're in a war, and you're not going to fight it with grenades and machine guns and tanks and all the different, that's not what you're going to fight the spiritual war with. You're going to fight the spiritual war with your faith in Christ and the word that he's left to you and the church that he's established. But he said, Timothy, don't ever lose sight of this fact that you are in a spiritual war, and you need to war a good warfare. Peter would say over in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, he would say this: be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, that's the enemy, that's who's against you. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. That's a warfare. You know you have a spiritual warfare going on inside of you from the time you wake up in the morning to the time you pillow your head at night. It's going to affect your conscience. And having a guilty or severed conscience is going to hinder your fellowship and your walk with God, your ability to pray, your ability to seek after God's help. Satan wants to steal that from you, and you're in a warfare going on inside of you. All of us are in this, have this warfare going on inside of us. Do you know you have a warfare going on inside your home? The devil would love to get into your home and mess up. First of all, the most important part of your home is the authority in the home, and that's your marital relationship. Because that will affect how you raise your children. That's how it'll affect your testimony as a Christian family. That's a warfare. If you're not aware of that, Satan's going to play havoc in your home, in your immediate family, and your extended family. There's no one that can hinder your life like your family members can hinder your life. Outside of the will of God and Satan working through them, they can cause you havoc. They can destroy things that God wants you to have to bless you. If you don't think about it, if you don't acknowledge it, it's going to happen without you, right underneath your very eyes. And Satan's going to get a victory in your home. There's spiritual warfare going on in the church. The devil does not want the true church to accomplish the work that God has called us to do. And if he can defeat the church from the inside, on the outside, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church, but from the inside. Unity of the church is so very important. Don't let Satan mess with you and cause there to be disunity in your family, disunity in the church. There's a spiritual warfare going on. Can't let it happen. You got to be aware of war. We're in a war. Yeah. The second thing is we study here and understand that we never allow the flesh to lead, but rather follow after faith. The difference between Hezekiah when early on in his life, the Bible records it right there for us, is that he had faith in God. He trusted in the Lord. The second half of that, when he yielded to the enemy, when he apologized and he did all of the things that he said and done, giving all the money away back to Sennacherib, he did not do that out of faith. He did it out of the flesh. How often do we allow the flesh to lead in our relationships in the home? Our relationships in the church. Vengeance. You did something to me? You wait. Right time, right place. Yeah, it's coming. Is that flesh or is that faith? Yeah, you know, it's flesh. It's the pride that goes before us that says, it's my way. And that's flesh. No, it's his way. It's God's way. I'm just a vessel that's trying to serve God in whatever position God puts me in, whether it be a husband, a father, a pastor. I just want to serve God in that position that he has placed me in. It's not about me having my will. It's not me about having my way. It's about his way. What we need to do in every circumstance and situation of life as we're at war, and this is a spiritual war, then we have to first of all look at what God's given us to fight it. You know what God has given to us? First of all, it's his presence inside of us. But then things that we can, tangible things that we look at, it's the Bible. It's the Bible. The Bible is filled with facts. Can I tell you? If you get away from the Bible and you start focusing on just fiction, you start focusing on philosophy, you start focusing on anything other than the facts of God's Word, you're heading in a wrong direction. The first thing we have to do, and I tell people that when you're getting ready to make a decision, when you're getting ready to deal with certain things, go on a fact-finding mission. Get all the facts that you can concerning the decisions that you have to make. And if you go on a fact-finding mission and you ask God to lead you to every truth that you can find, in fact, is truth that you can find, starting with the Bible, then he will help you to receive the truth that you have need of, because that fact, or the Bible, then is to be followed by faith. Faith now in applying the facts that we have received from God through the Bible. Now I have to have the faith to believe this is what I need to do. And feelings do have a part, because the peace of God is a feeling, if you will, from inside. The feelings always have to bring up the rear. Don't allow your feelings to control what you do, even though they're a part of what we do. But faith is to lead you to follow the facts. The fact, you look to the facts, and then the faith to apply it, and then the feelings to bring up the rear. Never allow flesh to lead, but rather follow after faith. That's Hezekiah. The third thing we find is never surrender or humble yourself before your enemy. A surrender is to humble yourself. To apologize is to humble yourself. We humble ourselves before God, not before the devil. Chapter 2 Kings and chapter 18, and we find here the Hezekiah sent to the king of Assyria, Lachish, saying, I have offended. Oh, I'm hoping to offend the devil. I want to offend him every day. I want to offend him every time I turn around. For me doing right, living right, accomplishing things for the cause of Christ, that offends the devil. Don't ever apologize for serving God. Don't ever apologize for preaching truth. He went on to say, that which thou puttest on me will I bear. I'll accept whatever you want to put on me. Wow. Evil will never be satisfied with what you give in to. Don't just understand that. He's not going to leave you alone just because you've surrendered to him. He's the devil. That's the total opposite of God. He does not have mercy and grace. Evil will never be satisfied with what you give into. In 1 Peter chapter 5, here we find again what the Bible reveals to us in this very same topic and understanding. Over in the 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 9, it says this: after be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion. We've read that. Verse 9, it says, whom resist steadfast, whom resist steadfast, not give in to, not surrender to, but you take a stand against it. You resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same affliction are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. And so how important it is for us to stand against the devil and not give in to him. Evil is Satan and sin. Sennacherib was a picture of Satan and sin. And you've heard this before, but it's so true. Satan and sin will always take you farther than what you want to go, will always keep you longer than what you want to stay, and it will always cost you more than what you are wanting to pay. Amen? That's just Satan and sin. It always, mark it down. When you surrender to it, it'll always take you farther than you think you'd ever go. It'll always keep you longer. Well, I'm just going to sow my wild oats, and then afterwards I'm going to serve the Lord. I remember as a young teenager saying those things. I knew God was convicting me about ministry, and I knew God wanted me, and I didn't. I was running from it. And I said, I've heard this all my life. You got to sow your wild oats, and you got to experience the things while you can. And I thought, I'm going to try to do some of this stuff, and then afterwards, when I get old and decrepit, can't do anything else, then I'll serve the Lord. Yeah. I would have never gotten old and crepit. I died out on the street a long time ago. Yeah, and the devil don't want to show you that picture of drugs and alcohol and suicide. That's the intent that he has. I got to quit here, but Hezekiah gave in to evil instead of standing by faith. That's basically what happened. Ephesians in chapter 6 is what we know to be the closest thing to what we just studied with Hezekiah. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, because you can't defeat the devil outside of his help. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We've heard that, but are we applying that? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual kingdom of Satan himself, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. We're living in the evil day. And having done all to stand, what's the most important thing that we do? Stand, therefore. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth and having the breastplate of righteousness. Stand by faith against all wickedness in a time of weakness, in a time of uncertainties. Even Hezekiah would fall, but he wouldn't stay down. He realized what he had done and turned it around. Hezekiah would learn that victory is always available to us. Listen, victory for the born-again believer, victory is always available to you. But it must be sought after. We find this that God gives to us, Hezekiah's humanity. But he turns it around. And what we'll study next Wednesday night is exactly what he did to claim the victory over the superpower evil Sennacherib. What about it? Are we focused on winning the spiritual wars that we're fighting? I trust we are. If I could have every head bowed tonight. Praise the Lord for the study of King Hezekiah and for us to God to show us his humanity in a time and hour of weakness and uncertainties. He made the wrong decision, but he didn't stay down. He turned things around. Listen to me, you might have made the wrong decision and you might be focused on the wrong things. But you can turn it around. Get the victory that's available to you. Seek after it. Father, we bow before you now. We love you, Lord, and thank you for the truth of your word and for the testimony of this great King Hezekiah. And I pray that we would continue to learn from what you've recorded for us to study on his life. For we ask and pray now your blessings on this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.